From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Let us pray together. Lead us, creation's architect, into all those places where we will discover your hope waiting to nourish and restore our famished souls. Lead us, shepherd of little children, into all those places where we may have the joy of filling the emptiness of others with your goodness. Lead us, spirit of goodness, into all those places where deeds of kindness and hands overflowing with mercy speak louder than platitudes. God in community, holy in one, lead us into your kingdom as we pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Our special music this morning features Miss Michelle Adjtaggi, Reverend Lovins, and Phil Lewis as they perform The Prayer. Listen now to this message from the Reverend Andrew Lovins entitled, The Other Sheep.
You've likely heard the analogy that religion is like blind men before an elephant. There's a blind man and he grabs the tail and he says, oh, God must be like a rope. And then another blind man grabs the ear and he says, God must be like a fan. Then another blind man grabs the trunk and says, God must be like a fire hose. Then another blind man grabs a leg and says, oh, God must be like a tree. And usually, if you've taken a religion class at a university, the professor will say something like, that's the way religion is. Each religion captures a different part of the same God, a piece of the same God, but no one religion fully encapsulates or crystallizes the full revelation of God. And of course, there are some good points regarding the analogy. The truth is, we are blind and dull because of sin, and so we don't completely understand everything we should understand. And what's more, there is a certain mystery to God that perhaps we will never fully comprehend until we are standing face to face with God, and we fully know as we are fully known. But there is a flaw in the illustration, a fatal flaw, because what if the elephant could talk? And what if the elephant said, this is who I am. This is what I am like. Well, in fact, in Christianity, that's exactly the claim that we make. Over 400 times in the Bible, you will read this phrase, thus says the Lord. And when you get over to the New Testament, you see that Jesus Christ is seen as the God-man, incarnate deity. In other words, if you want to know what God is really like, the fullness of deity, look at Jesus Christ, because he is the embodiment of the full revelation of God. He is the apex of God's revelation. So when the apostles are questioned about how a lame man could walk, even after he had been this way since his birth, and Simon Peter says, well, it happened through Jesus Christ. This man stands before you whole because of an encounter with Jesus Christ through us, through his apostles. And by the way, there is salvation in no one else, because no other name has been given to mortals by which they must be saved, the name Jesus. But then right there, some people will scoff. Oh, well, you know, that's narrow-minded, and that's bigoted, and that's imperialistic. And pastor, don't you know that these kinds of sermons and these kinds of ideas that Jesus taught, that the Apostle Peter taught, that all the apostles taught, these are the kinds of things that have gotten us in a heap load of trouble. And yet, for whatever reason, we don't fathom that all truth, by its very nature, is narrow and exclusive. That is the nature of truth. It's just the way it is. If I say to you, for example, 2 + 2 = 4, everyone will say, yeah, that's right. Right? But suppose I come back to you tomorrow and I say, well, you know, that's too narrow and restrictive. I think now that 2 + 2 = 5, because I'm just an open-minded sort of guy. You would think, that's a stupid preacher. Or if I said, today I think that 2 + 2 = 2, because I'm just that kind of guy. You'd think, what is wrong with our preacher? Truth, by its very nature, is exclusive. It is narrow. Say I get sick, and say I go to the doctor. And the doctor is able to pinpoint exactly what my problem is, and he writes me out a prescription, and I say, Doc, I know that this prescription will work, but I'm an open-minded sort of guy, and I think I'm just going to go over to Hy-Vee and just buy something over the counter to fix this. Is that really the right approach? Or say that I'm here at church today, and after church I can't find my keys to drive home. And so I go up to Brian, and I say, Brian, I can't find my keys to start my car. Would you give me your keys? That way I'll be able to get home. You know, your keys will work. Brian will look at me like, I'm not really sure about that. I don't think so. All truth, by its very nature, is narrow. All truth is exclusive. It rules out whatever doesn't rise to the level of truth, whatever is not in keeping with reality. But for some reason, when we get to the subject of religion, we embrace narrowness and exclusivity and all these other realms in our life. But when we get over to religion, we're like, well, I can't accept that. The narrowness of truth. Oh, that's bigoted and that's imperialistic. Oh, I can't buy that. Why is it that now we switch the criterion for what we deem to be true versus what is false? Why the sudden shift? Well, I think there are a couple of reasons for that. And the first is a good reason, because we are kind people. And that's a good thing. We don't want to see anyone perish. And of course, Scripture says God is not willing that any should perish. And so we have a really hard time thinking that the neighbor across the street who's part of a different religion from me, we have a hard time thinking, well, maybe they're lost. Or maybe we have a kid who's going contrary to the path that we raised them in. We have a hard time wrapping our minds around the idea that, hey, they may not be on the right path. They could be on the wrong path. And we have a hard time thinking of anyone in our life that we care about as being a lost person. And so we convince ourselves that, well, maybe truth, at least in the realm of religion and spirituality, maybe truth is not so narrow. Maybe it's not quite so exclusive. Because at heart, we are very kind people. We are very gracious people. But I think that there's a bigger reason why we're this way, a more true reason. And I think that the fact is we lack imagination. We think that when the Bible says that salvation is only through Jesus Christ, that if anybody's going to be saved, they have to be saved just like me. That when they speak, they got to use my words. That they have to hold my opinions. That they have to think like me and sing like me. In other words, if anybody's going to be saved, they have to have white, middle class, Protestant, creedal faith, just like me. Because if they don't share my faith in the way I articulate it, in the way I express it, then I'm not really sure they have genuine, authentic faith. I'm not sure they even know God. And I think that's the flaw. You see, I'm not of the persuasion that we just need to revise the gospel and come back and say, oh, well, Jesus, you know, he was just a product of his upbringing. That's why he was so narrow-minded. And Peter, he was just so dense and dumb. He didn't know any better. I don't think we have to do that. What I think we need to do is we need to get a bigger imagination and understand that truth, true truth, really is elastic. I remember when this dawned on me. Oh, I was in my 20s, and it's when I knew I was going to become a dad. Andy was in her mom's womb, and every night I would just talk to Andy in the womb. Hi, how are you doing? I can't wait to meet you. And then at night I would sing to Andy in the womb. And this went on for several months. And the day came, and Andy was born. And she came out of the womb, and she was crying, and she was wet, and it was a mess. She was crying inconsolably, and I remember Andy was over there in the corner with the nurse, and the nurse had cleaned her up and had cut the umbilical cord, and she was just wailing to beat the band. And then I said, Andy, and on a dime, she stopped crying, and her head jerked over in my direction. We had never met. She had never seen my face. She didn't yet know my name. But she knew the sound of her father's voice. She knew the sound of daddy's voice. And isn't that what Jesus said? He said, the sheep, if they're real sheep, know the voice of the shepherd. Sometimes we don't lack comprehensive knowledge of the things of God. And there are people in other parts of the world, and maybe even in our own neighborhood, who have a very sort of what we would consider to be incomplete, sort of pathetic understanding of God. But someone who is right with God, someone who knows God's salvation, is someone who simply knows the shepherd's voice. And I think what we have to understand is that our God is a creative God. And there's more than one way to bring someone to a place of salvation. Not everybody, you see, is going to respond to a sermon like this. God has a multiplicity of ways by which God can reach people. Read the Old Testament, if you will. You see that sometimes people stood up, prophets, and they preached the word of God. But then sometimes God reached people through dreams and visions while they were asleep at night. We even read in the Psalms that God is speaking to people through the created order, that the heavens declare the glory of God, that the skies proclaim the work of His hands. St. Paul said that the very creation is declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. You mean God's not bound to this pathetic preacher? No, God is not bound to this pathetic preacher. Read the book of Revelation. You'll see there in John's Apocalypse. Before the consummation of the ages, you see angels flying through the air. And you know what the angels are doing? They're declaring the eternal gospel of our Lord to earth's inhabitants. God is not willing that any should perish. Therefore, God has creative ways of reaching people through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what I believe? I believe the Scriptures. And I have an imagination big enough to conceive of a God, to conceptualize of a God who was speaking truth when He said, "When you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart." It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what religion you're a part of. It doesn't matter what your denomination is. If you are truly seeking after God, God says, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. God says, even about the Israelites, "You won't be faithful. You'll betray me. And because you have betrayed me, I will disperse you to the north, the south, and the east, and the west. And there you will worship false gods. You will bow down to gods of wood and stone." But God says, even there, if you seek after me with all your heart, you will find me. People who seek after God, there will come a day in their life when their eyes will be open and they will be given the opportunity to see the true God, the one that is knowable through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't have to change the gospel to fit a pluralist agenda. We don't have to augment anything in order to be kind. We simply need to enlarge our imagination. Edgerton Young was the first missionary to the Native Americans. And he went to Saskatchewan, and he preached the love of God to the Indians there. And after he was done preaching, an old chief asked him, "When you were talking about the Great Spirit, did you call the Great Spirit our Father?" And Young says, well, yes, I did." And the chief says, "Well, that's very sweet and kind, and that's very beautiful. We have never thought of the Great Spirit like that before. We have heard the sound of the Great Spirit in the thunder and seen Him in the lightning, and we have felt Him in the tempest and the storm and in the wintry blast. But the idea that the Great Spirit is our Father, that is very sweet and beautiful to us." Then the old chief said, Did you call the Great Spirit our Father?" And the missionary said, "Well, yes, I did." And then the chief said, Did you call the Great Spirit your Father too?" The missionary said, "Well, yes, I did." And then the old chief began to smile from ear to ear, and it was like the sun broke across the darkness of his heart. And he said, "Well, then we are brothers." That's the kind of imagination that I'm talking about. Read the scriptures. Scripture envisions a day when all people from the north, the south, the east, and the west will come to know God. That the knowledge of God will be like the waters that cover the earth. Anybody who seeks after God, not haphazardly or just casually, or no, Scripture is very clear. If you seek after me with all your heart, you will find. In Jesus' day, his own disciples lacked imagination. They thought that the only people that can be saved are people of Jewish blood. That's it. All the rest, they're heathens. They're outside of the covenant promises of God. And it's in this context that Jesus says, "Hey, I am the good shepherd. And I have come to lay my life down for the sheep." And Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord out of love." And then he says something just, wow, that'll take your breath away. He looks at his disciples who are filled with xenophobia and bigotry and all of that. And he says, "Oh yeah, guys, and by the way, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also." And I'm sure the disciples were like, "Well, what's he talking about? Other sheep? Sheep? Part of his fold?" You see, I believe that it's arrogant to claim that only your clan knows God. Us four and no more, baby. The rest of you are out on your ear. I believe that's arrogance. But I also believe it's arrogant to say that all roads lead to God. It makes me want to spit. All roads lead to God. Does that apply to someone like David Koresh? Does that apply to someone like Jim Jones? Does that apply to someone like Osama bin Laden? Does that apply to someone like Anton LaVey? Were they also touching the same God that we touch? Is that what you're saying? I further believe it's arrogant when the agnostic comes along and says, "Well, you know, all of this is very confusing. And so I think that the truth is that we can't know the truth." That's the truth. We can't know the truth. And my question to you, if you're an agnostic, is that true? We can't know the truth, but you just made a truth claim of truth's unknowability. You know what we call that in logic? We call that a self-defeating statement. You have broken the laws of logic. You make no sense, Padre. No, see, I think that this is our problem. Our problem is not the gospel. Our problem is not with Jesus. Our problem is not with the apostles. We don't have to change anything. We don't have to water anything down. We don't have to do that. No, we just need to grow a bigger imagination and believe in a creator God who is able to reach people in creative ways. We just need to believe the scriptures, that if a person really sincerely seeks after God at the end of all things, the God that they will come face to face with, either in this life or the next life, is the crucified and risen Lord. And that they will have the opportunity, if they want to be eternally saved. I believe that that's the direction that scripture points into. But it's amazing how easily arrogance kind of slips into our thinking. And that's the problem. We're just, we proclaim the truth and then we're arrogant about it. And we thumb our nose at people and we look down on people who are different from us or who are part of different cultures. And that's the thing, the arrogance that distances people from us. Not the truth, because I believe that people were made for the truth. And when they hear the truth from a humble witness, a humble heart, something reverberates and rings on the inside of them. You know, if I picked my trumpet up right now and walked over here and played a C on my trumpet, you know, the C chord in this piano would vibrate. You know why that is? Because that string was made for that note. And it would vibrate. I'm not going to do it because I might be out of tune today. I don't know. But people were made to hear the gospel. And when they hear the gospel, something on the inside of them. When they hear the love of God, something on the inside of them begins to vibrate because they were made for that. But we get in the way with our arrogance and looking down on people and saying offensive, ugly, xenophobic, racist things instead of speaking to people in love. I love the story about, it was a doctor, a lawyer, a little boy, and a priest. They were on a plane, and they were flying from St. Louis to New York City. And the plane was having some trouble mid-flight, and the pilot tried as hard as he could to save the plane, but he just couldn't do it. So he comes back to the cabin, and he says, "We're going to crash, we're going down. I can't save us. I have little kids, so I can't go down with the plane." And so he grabs a parachute and he jumps out of the plane. That leaves three parachutes, but there's four people left on the plane. At that, the doctor says, "Hey, I'm very important. I save lives. The world needs me." So he grabs a parachute and jumps out of the plane. Then the lawyer, in panic, says, "Well, I'm a lawyer, and you know, lawyers, they're the smartest people on earth, so I can't go down with the plane." So he grabs a parachute and jumps out of the plane. At that, the priest is downhearted, and he looks at the little boy, and he says, "Young man, you take the last parachute. I know where I'm going when I die. I've lived a good life. I know Jesus. I'll go down with the plane. You take the last parachute." And the little boy says, "Relax, Reverend. The smartest man in the world just grabbed my backpack and jumped out of the plane." What are you relying on for your salvation? If you're relying on your good works, or you're relying on your religiosity, or you're relying on your intellect or your wisdom, it's like grabbing someone's backpack and jumping out of the plane. The Bible tells us to rely on Jesus, incarnate deity, the God-man, who loves everyone, to embrace him, to put our full faith and confidence in him, not our good works, not even our religion. What did Jesus say? He said, "I am the way," not a religion. He said, "I am the way." And friends, I affirm to you that salvation is found in no one else other than Jesus, the Christ of God. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for your love for us. Help us to understand that there are other sheep that are not part of our fold, and that you are in the process of bringing them in also. We don't understand it. We often lack the imagination to see it. But you alone, O God, are the crucified and risen one, and we place our faith in you. Help us, O God, to embrace that truth with humility. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.